Kept you waiting, huh?
Afternoon or indeed good bloody well evening to episode 119 of the UK's number one gaming podcast. This is the Crosscast and we are part of the Cross Players, a team of mates dedicated to bringing you all of the educated opinions on the incredible games we play, the consoles we love and the universe of news surrounding them all. And to get things started on today's Crosscast, I'm going to introduce you to my beautiful co-host. Fucking hell, recording on a Saturday. Lewis is doing his best Fiora impression with a pen. Lewis, how are you, mate?
Good, thanks.
Jawohl. What are you drinking, mate? What are you?
Red wine. Red wine.
Got red wine lips.
Yep, like you.
Okay.
It's just red. I don't know what kind of red wine it is.
That's fine. It's okay. It's just red. Just red from a bottle.
It's blend.
Ben, are you drinking red wine? What are you drinking?
I am drinking red wine. I've got a Pinot. A little bit of a Pinot. South African. In quite a big glass because I didn't want to have to refill it halfway. So yeah. I've put more in there than... Not a classy amount of wine.
Just like a tumbler, that class.
Well, I think they're supposed to be quite trendy, having them out of like non-stem glasses these days.
Trendy. Who says trendy?
A traditionalist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All black, outfit on, nice sexy glasses, lost a little bit of weight, still on the Peloton. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. It's all about the... He's on brand, isn't he? Artiste. Alex, you got a new water bottle?
I do a big yellow one.
Big filthy yellow. Look at that. Like banana man's
dick. Got
that
spout.
Yeah, that's nice. Does it make a weird noise when you suck it?
That is huge.
It's not really. It's only 1 litre, I think. 750 ml.
Is it? Is that all it is? Looks like a
I've just got tiny hands. It's like Mark.
It does, yeah.
Just like a seltzer bottle. Seltzer bottle. We all okay? We all fine? Saturday evening?
What are you drinking, Dan? What are you drinking?
Come on. Two's up, Ben.
Oh...
Top beer.
Oh, Corona.
Corona with the lime. With the lime. Squeeze the lime.
Do you know why they put the lime in the top? Do you know why, Dan?
Keep the flies away.
Keep the flies out.
Keep the fucking flies.
Yeah, they do. And I've also doubled up. I've got this Arono and Coke as well.
It's Arono.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Arono.
I don't know how to say it, but
Arono. Arono.
I'm more worried that Ben would actually correct me and say, no, actually, it's just Arono. Which one is it, Ben?
No, I don't know. Both work, don't they?
Both work. But one's right.
So who cares about who's right and wrong, really?
Okay. Alex, do you have a nice Saturday? Any plans today? What were you doing?
I've had a terrible Saturday. Like, because my child decided it was Christmas and has been singing "We Wish You a Merry Christmas" at me all day, and then made me read a Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer book for bedtime, whilst they were dancing around the kitchen to Kelly Clarkson's "Underneath the Christmas Tree." I'm like, it's fucking July.
Wow.
Leave me
you
alone.
You hate all forms of joy at the best of times.
Well, yeah. So I mean, no, that's not fair because I've been in a good mood all week. You've done your best to try and knock me out of this good mood, Ben. But I have been in a good mood until today. And they gave me a headache singing Christmas songs. I was raging.
Any nice spoilers? Any sneak peeks of what you guys discussed on last night's recording? VR.
Laurie said the word queef at one point, so listen out for that. He says it quite quietly, but it is there. It is definitely there. So that was the highlight for me when I was going through editing it this morning, and he just went queef under his breath, and we didn't notice it at the time.
I reckon Laurie came down at like, I don't know, 6:30 this morning wearing his pajamas. He's got those slippers that are bare's feet, you know, the kind of bare paw ones. So it's like he's walking downstairs. His wife sat on the sofa, fully dressed, with just a suitcase on the side.
Yeah. Okay.
Laurie, we need to speak. Like, what the fuck? What happened?
I heard you say the word queef last night on your breath.
You said it was a games podcast.
He's like, fuck, I've ruined my life. We say queef a lot more on this podcast.
We do. It's standard on this, but in the VR podcast.
I follow a lady on Instagram who dressed up as Spider-Man and then just queefs on and queefs while she goes, that. It's pretty good.
Follow her on Instagram. Why?
Queef Spider-Man.
What was the saying?
What was the what?
Jesus Christ.
What was the saying?
What was the scent?
No.
The scent. Oh,
move on. Move on. I'm sorry I even mentioned the word now.
I don't have a sniffer.
Laurie's fault.
It is Laurie's fault. He brought it on himself.
Yeah.
Anyway, we are the Cross Players, and we're here to talk to. I don't even know anymore. The disaronner is hitting. We've got a jam-packed show for you anyway. Before we begin, I'd like you to support us. Please give the podcast a review on the service you're using. Give us a like and subscribe in youtube.com/thecrossplayers. Head over to thecrossplayers.com for links to all of our content and our Discord, which has been popping off this week. Has been really popping off. A lot of VR content on there. The boys doing God's work. If you are stark or even mad, hit up patreon.com/thecrossplayers and contribute as little as £2 to help us produce the show. And you also get entry into our batshit crazy WhatsApp group. We are going to talk pick up and play first, chaps. Picked up anything, mate?
At time of recording, no. But as you guys know, I'll have something for next week. Apparently, it's getting delivered on Tuesday.
Oh!
Teaser there for everybody.
What teaser me? What is it, Lewis? We just don't know.
No idea.
It's going to be me on this. Me on this podcast on my own soon. Ranting for an hour.
That's his final form.
To be fair, it should have been. That is the Charizard. Alex, picked up anything?
No, unusually. Oh no, that's not true. Because probably what I played, I probably picked up. So I picked up Viewfinder, and I did pick. I said last time I picked up Dave the Diver, but no, that's. I haven't picked up anything else. Unusually for me. Well, a bit more usually. Actually, recently I've been a bit better.
Ben, it says you've picked up a backbone. So you've finally been able to assert yourself in either a home or away, or both.
I'm not standing for this treatment anymore.
I just want to be. I want a VR team.
I'm a man. I picked up a Backbone, the PlayStation version of the Backbone 1 for Android, and it's really cool. Not immediately, but about 2 days after. Getting the Backbone, I realised my internet is probably not ideally set up to support the Backbone. So I then bought a new router and had Tyler, shout out to Tyler, basically as my IT support, helping me set up this new network in my house. And now my streaming game is 100% flawless. I'm getting 1080, 60 frames per second constantly, and it is a beautiful, beautiful thing. So remote play, streaming from the cloud, all that working seamlessly. Really good. So thank you, Tyler, genuinely.
Cheers, Tyler.
Made a hell of a difference.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Tyler. Thanks, Tyler.
My man.
Yeah, help the one person who doesn't need any help.
I clearly
do. Can we just talk Backbone for a second?
Yeah.
Sure. Let's talk Backbone.
Let's talk Backbone, because Liz is always online. I see you.
Yeah, I think it's more because you've got one. I'm like, okay, I've got a fucking Backbone. I've got a Backbone. I've had a Backbone for at least 2 years. Do the Ben's on there?
No, they're cool.
How are you enjoying the? Well, let's talk about the product in relation to the Kishi, because you got the Kishi, I got the Backbone.
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
It absolutely trounces the Kishi in every category.
That's annoying.
It's the build quality, just the button feel, the stick feel, everything is just so much better. Feels much less plasticky. When I'm playing it on my phone, it feels like it's a solid piece of kit, whereas the Kishi always felt like a bit, you know, wibbly wobbly. So I'm really impressed. In fact, I've just given the Kishi to my son now. You have that. I'm
kids
not going
toy.
To that at any point. Yeah. Yeah, basically, yeah, there's a big difference. There's a big difference in price, to be fair, but yeah, it does. It feels much more of a premium product.
Unboxing experience as well.
Pretty
better.
Good.
It's good. It's
better,
nice,
better.
Nice packaging.
Yep, nice packaging. All. I mean, even the app is quite nice,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Where you get a free thingy. For
so
a year.
They. I think the Android version is free anyway at the moment because I think it's in beta or beta.
Hmm.
It's cool. Just being able to, it automatically knows what games you've got on your phone that are compatible with it. Although it didn't actually know that because I found out that Oxenfree 2 actually works fine with it, although that didn't appear like instantly on my phone. So
that's just because it's the new
button,
game.
Press the back.
But yeah, very, very impressed with it. And if anyone else, sometimes you just don't want to sit in front of a big screen and play, do you? Sometimes you just want to chill out. And it's really good for that.
Glad you like it.
Good option to have, definitely.
Have you all seen the leaks of the PlayStation Q, is it?
Project Q thing.
Project Q, yeah, the handheld, like the Wii U screen.
I haven't seen anything beyond that presentation. That
no, there's a video leak today.
No, there's a lot of stuff today, yeah. It looks awful.
Including the UI of it, which you think it looks awful?
Never the final UI. There's no chance that's the final.
Not at all, but...
Like,
it was just like literally just icons on the screen. But to be fair, Sony, you never know. But yeah, it looked all right. Look, the way the screen kind of jolts out, I quite like. It's like a weird kind of like just a TV hanging off two random controllers that have been joined by Ultra Hand. So it's quite cool.
Yeah.
But I don't mind.
Yeah. I'm still interested in it. So it'd be nice to have a dedicated device for it. But with the backbone, at least you can kind of just silence your notifications and you almost forget it's a phone, which is cool.
Yeah, like you to be the person that trials it then. I think we were getting it because at least that way then you'd be able to compare it to the 3 and say this is more premium than X, Y, and Z, or it's much for muchness. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
So just make you spend more money. It's fine. Stace will be fine about it.
You want me to spend my own money to try it? Okay.
Well, right, we could try and get one. You know, Laurie's on the in, honey, so you could...
Yep.
Get one of them.
I'm sure.
I picked up a load of steelbooks and a load of tap, a load of games. Picked up David the Diver. I picked up the Citizen Sleeper after you guys told me to. Got both those in Steam's Steam sale, which is pretty decent. I picked up two versions of Celeste, which I've sent one of them now to Tyler. So you're going to be getting that soon. And spoilers, he's going to be getting the giant, one of Lewis's faces as well. And a couple of stickers. I don't know, Jan had those, so I think I'd be quite happy to get those on the Jersey Shore. But yeah, that's all I picked up. So it's been a good week.
Hip. Sorry, I thought you were finished there, Dan. Apologies.
No, go on, finish. No, go on.
No, I've heard a lot about Dave the Diver, and I've not taken any time to look into it.
Well,
I've got no idea what it is.
Someone's played it, haven't they, Alex?
I've played a lot of it. I played it quite a bit on holiday. I've played a lot of it and I'm still only in chapter 2, mainly because you get no, but it has chapters. Mainly because there's so much you can just do and explore and play and enjoy. Like, it's so good. It really deserves all the plaudits that it's getting. Like, I'm not one for these kind of pixely games, and like it's just not generally my kind of thing, and I started playing this game and it is so addictive. So addictive. Like, it starts off just quite simple. You're on a boat, you need to go and collect fish to stock up your sushi restaurant, and then it's all about managing the menu in the restaurant, delivering the plates, almost like a little bit. It's not quite overcooked because you're not cooking or anything. All you really need to do is pour the drinks and deliver, but you then kind of need to like level up the restaurant, and as you level up you can hire staff to do more of that for you. It then adds more layers in terms of what you can do underwater, what animals you're fighting, how far down you can do, upgrading your diving suit to go deeper, like upgrading your oxygen tank so you can stay under there longer. It then adds in fish farms, so you can then farm your own fish so that you're not that bothered about catching the fish. If you've got the fish farming, you're more about exploration. The story to it, and that's
unethical.
Only in chapter 2. Like, so there's so much more that's going to layer on, and it's just so addictive, so enjoyable. It's funny, it looks really nice, plays amazingly well on the deck. Like, when this comes to Switch, I think it will be absolutely huge.
Yeah.
It's just a shame that it's not there yet, because I think if it had the kind of audience it could get on a Switch, and I think I think this could be the indie game of the year, like, quite by a distance.
It is shaping up to be, isn't it? Just from hype alone. But it's coming out this year to Switch, isn't it, apparently?
Should be.
They haven't said anything to the contrary.
Yeah, big Moonlighter vibes on it as well. I think.
Looks like it, yeah.
Yeah,
I was going to say, there's almost like that. It's kind of like sub-genre of games now, where like Moonlighter, Cult of the Lamb, this.
Yeah.
Where you're almost like, you're doing one thing and then that feeds into the other, and then just that's the loop. I really like the look of this. I'm very much looking forward to the Switch version.
I think what's good about it as well is you never feel like you're neglecting and want to get back to the other bits. So I think, we call it the lamb, you were a bit like, oh, I want to get through that bit to do this, but I'm not that bothered then about looking after some of the bits. It feels like every element of the game is enjoyable. I think they've just nailed each little bit of it, so that you're not like, right, I just need to go over this, because it's all just based on like a day cycle. So like, you get two slots in the morning where you can dive twice. That then, once you've done those two dives, you need to go and run your restaurant, and then it eventually gets to the stage where you get two cycles at night as well, and you can use a third of the time to then do a night dive where you get different fish, and then that takes a third of the time away from your trading hours. And think it's pure risk and reward in terms of everything that you do, but the story's quite good as well, because it's, you've always got an objective, but there's like no pressure on you to do the objective. You can either just go and explore, or you can go and focus on the objective and progress the story. But it's like, it's all based around like a phone. It's like, you've got a phone and all the apps on your phone. So you've got like the Cooks app, that's like the Instagram app, but that's where all the people are posting from your restaurant, and you need to get like so many likes and so many this and so many that so you can level up. But then you've got like a diving app where you upgrade your suit, you've got a weapons app where you've got a wee guy that's going to build you all your different types of guns, you've got like a compare, like almost like a Pokedex for all the fish that you're trying to find. You've got just so many things.
So I think
so many
this
things
sounds
spawn.
Fun.
When we're saying this, like, kind of subgenre that spawned Cult of the Lamb, Moonlighter, I think Dredge is a good example of that, where it didn't really hit. And I thought, because that tie-in isn't quite there, but Ben, you've been playing Dredge.
I have, and a lot of what Alex was describing there reminded me of Dredge. Obviously, it's got the sort of fishing theme. But yeah, that whole go out, get a load of fish, go back, trade them in, upgrade your boat, upgrade your rod, whatever it might be. Which sounds quite boring when you put it like that, but I think the thing with Dredge is the it's almost got this like inscription-y creepiness to the whole thing, where like you don't want to be out on your boat at night because you start then having hallucinations and weird freakish monsters chasing after you and stuff. It's never like massively threatening, but it's just this vibe that it's got, which I really just completely just devoured it in 2 or 3 days, because I just couldn't get enough of it. It's got that whole management loop that sounds like Dave the Diver's got, that definitely Cult of the Lamb just kept me addicted to that. It's just now I can upgrade this, and then I go and do that, and then I can upgrade this, and it's just very, very satisfying. I think that might have come out too early in the year to be in like indie of the year conversations, unfortunately, but I really think that's quite... It's one that I can see why... I know, Alex and Dan, you dropped off it fairly early, didn't you?
Yeah, pretty quick.
Because I think it starts really slow. Like, your boat is slow. You're catching shit fish.
Yeah.
And your storage, your kind of Resident Evil 4 style storage that you've got is very minimal. So it takes a while to get going and the upgrades to start kicking in. But it's just a cool game that I think people should try and push through that initial
barrier. I should probably go back to it and revisit it now. I think it's I was playing it on the Xbox, but I think I can stream it to the Steam Deck. If I do that, I might get a wee bit better with it.
I played it on Switch, ran flawlessly.
Okay.
Looks really good on the OLED. Like, I really like that art style as well, and just it's weird, it's something about that like horror vibe that I I quite like, and I really dug that with the inscription as well. Just something, just eerie without being like scary. It's just odd, and I like it.
Chill factor.
Chill factor. Yeah, probably Fishfingers.
Okay. Nice move. Lewis? Zelda?
Yep, still Zelda. I'm actually at the main thing I need to do next is the last fight, the last battle, and I'm holding off doing it. I'm enjoying too much just still wandering around, seeing what I see. Try to do shrines, try to do side quests.
Where you're up to, so I've done all of the what do you call them?
Temples?
Yes, thank you, temples. I've done all the temples, and I'm about to go and see Pura about the temples. So have I gone much farther to go, or is it...
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, good. Happy with that.
Yeah, there's a few bits to go. And even then, I'm assuming that... I mean, I've got a notification in terms of the tasks, or what you want to call it, the quests. It's the next thing I have to do is to go and face the big baddie. But yeah, I've still got a lot of shrines to do. I've still got a lot of side quests to do. I'm just still loving wandering around. Yeah. I'm not ready to stop doing that.
And so I'm still playing this as well. And as I said, like the last two evenings, I've just got through the two final temples, just thoroughly enjoying it. The last one was the Goron one. Weirdly. So I did... First one was the... shit with the names, anything.
The wind one?
The bird people.
Yep.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Then so it did wind. Thank you, Rita. Did the wind. Then I did the water people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Zora.
I did wind, then Goron.
Then I did the Gerudo. Bless you. Got that one. And then I did the Goron.
Interesting. So either we did the first.
His face is amazing.
There's no racing cars in it, Alex. You can just go to sleep.
I forgot about something.
Oh, God. So we did the first one.
Bye.
The wind temple. But then the other three are totally mixed up. So yeah, he did.
Yeah.
I did wind. Or like the Rito, Goron, Zora, then Gerudo was my last.
Yeah. I'm surprised at the story. As in, I'm happily surprised at the story. Other than the voice acting, which I think unequivocally people despise, and I really dislike it as well. But I'm really, really surprised at the depth of the story. So I've just finished collecting all the tears as well. So I don't know if you've done that. I've got the Master Sword from it.
Yep.
But that part, I was like, what? There's Master Sword. But
now I know how to get it.
No, you don't.
It's annoying.
You won't.
Well,
you won't. From what I've just said, you won't.
Well.
But from that part, again, all those tears. What's that? Yeah. 11 of them, just having an absolute ball. Yeah, unlocking all of the towers and then being able to then parachute in. It's just really, really cool. But you're right, I'm not ready to progress the story. I want to go around. There's certain areas where I've kind of been to all the fringe areas. I don't know if you've got rid of the pirates in a certain area.
Yeah. I've done a bit of that.
Yeah, and there's the Thingy Island as well, where you can get rid of them all on there, which is pretty cool.
I've not done that yet. Yeah.
Like, barely even done any of the depths. Not touched the depths. No, it was Tyler had pretty much completed all the shrines, hadn't he?
He's done the shrines, yeah.
Which is unreal. Yeah. Absolutely unreal. How many are there?
Too many.
120, 140, something like that.
There was more than Breath of the Wild. There was 120 in Breath of the Wild.
Dear me. So yeah.
Mad.
But
loving it. I'm loving it more and more and more as I play it. Whereas with Breath of the Wild, I kind of plateaued at a certain point, just really thoroughly enjoying it, going, right, I'll go and beat
Great plateaued.
Yeah.
Great plateaued. At this point, I'm still unlocking ideas. And I think the shrines are genuinely giving more and more things to experiment with outside, with the different Zona devices, etc. So yeah, thoroughly enjoying it.
I was going to say one thing I would recommend to you to do a bit of exploring in the depths.
To me?
Mm.
Okay. I shall.
I've not done a lot of it, but once I sort of started going through trying to find bits, I was like, this is cool.
Yeah.
Because the first reaction was like, I can't fucking see a thing. Before I knew, I had to throw bright, what were they called, seeds to light up the place. I was going around with a fire arrow going... trying to see where I was going.
Yeah.
But it's a really cool place with a lot of stuff down there.
Okay, I need to find the stuff then. It's cool. Awesome. I'm going to come to Alex. You've been playing another game aside from Dave the Diver, but you also said you've remembered something.
Yeah, so I've been playing Viewfinder, which is another indie game that came out this week, made by a Scottish studio, I think. Is it SOS? I think they're a Scottish studio.
Save Our Scots.
Lovely little game.
Yep.
Yeah. I think we'd seen it quite a bit in showcases and stuff, where it's all around like perspective and pictures and puzzle solving. So it's like first person puzzle solving, puzzle room type game, a la kind of, not quite Portally, but that kind of vibe to it. Someone talking to you in the background, story kind of unwinding as you go. But it's really, really cool, really well done. Kind of layers itself, the mechanics layers itself on top. So it starts off where you just get these Polaroid pictures lying about and you pick up the picture and you need to place them. And then as you place the picture, you can go into the picture. And then the art style completely changes depending on what the scene is in the picture. And you need to kind of use these pictures to solve the puzzle, whether it's to get to a switch. And you basically need to find a teleporter.
He's on mute.
You're mute.
Schoolboy error.
Oopsies.
Oh dear.
Reminded me a little bit in how you're describing it of Goragoa.
Mm. That put me off as well. Yeah.
Yeah. No. It's very much not that. That's more kind of just pointing and clicking to an extent. Whereas this is like more exploration. So it's like they are. You need to find the teleporter to get out of each level or to go into the next level, and there's so many levels. You kind of go on this tram, it's like a tram or like a monorail type thing, and that takes you like to different worlds, and you've got so many
monorail.
Different levels in each
world. Those things
are
awfully loud.
Nice.
It starts off, you're exploring these Polaroids, and as you go into the Polaroids you can adapt the art style, and the really cool art style is like the first level. It can go from like a kind of a painting to a child's picture to a cowboy scene to all these different things, and it just instantaneously like switches, but it keeps your trail so you can go in and out of them, and it kind of creates a level to walk backward and forward. It then kind of moves from that to some of the things we've probably seen more in the trailer, where it's all about finding the right angle to look at a picture, and then when you find, like, put all the bits together, it becomes like reality. So like they're all like maybe little slitherings of a picture, and you need to find the right angle, and when you find that angle it opens up.
I thought this looked cool. This was in the PlayStation showcase, it was called
something, or the State of Play or something. It's been shown
the
a
one
few
that
times.
We streamed that together.
Yeah, I think it was maybe in the Summer Games Fest or something like that.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah. And it then progresses to giving you your own camera, so it's about you then trying to take the pictures, and then kind of saying, right, well, it could be the teleporters on the ceiling. And then, so you need to like, oh, well, that's up there. I need to take a picture of that. Then I need to rotate the picture, place it to get to the, and it's just kind of, and then it starts to add them all together. And it could be like, you need to find a battery, but you then need to take pictures of the battery to get multiple batteries to power the teleporter. Progress. So I think I'm on like the first three worlds. I don't think it's too long a game. I think it has maybe only four or five worlds. I think from some of the things I've heard, it doesn't outstay its welcome, which I think is good with this type of game. It doesn't like give you like hundreds of the same type of puzzle and things like that. So I'm really enjoying it. It's really cool. That's Viewfinder.
Someone in Discord said they think before it came out, they said they thought it would come to PS Plus, and ever since then I have been like, well, I'm just gonna wait 10 days, because it does now. It feels like it needs to, in order for me to consider it. It's not one that I would trust myself to buy, because I generally haven't got on too well with these sort of first person puzzle games, but it's a cool concept. It's like mind blowing the way you describe it. Like, I can't
it's quite
imagine.
Difficult. That's the one thing I'd say. It's not. It does take a little bit of thought at times. And then you think it gives you. It doesn't give you that feeling of feeling. Oh, I'm so intelligent by solving this. It makes you get to the stage where you think I'm a fucking idiot by not solving it. Like when you realise what the solution was. So it's more that. Maybe, but I think again in some of the reviews and things I've heard, it does get quite difficult towards the end. That was one of the kind of negatives that I've seen in some of the reviews. It almost gets too difficult. It's worth a shot. I'm sure there's a demo. I think there's still a demo on PlayStation. There certainly was one. There was one on like Steam Next Fest, and I don't know if that was a timed one, but I think there is still a demo on PlayStation to give it a try.
Demos. I feel like demos are back.
Yeah.
Demos are back.
Seems to be back.
Demos are back, man. Like Final Fantasy 16 demo, everyone loved it. Mm. Did you find a demo?
Didn't bother playing it.
I think Nintendo did it. I think they started, didn't they? Because they were bringing out like quite a few. Like they did Octopath 1, and then you save carried over, so all that kind of stuff. It felt more prominent with them. But
Pikmin 4 demo lit up the world.
Did
everyone,
it?
Everyone loved it. I loved it.
Well, I haven't tried it yet. Need to.
Oh, it's really good.
Okay,
should try it.
Okay,
really good.
I might try that. Ben, what's your next pick, mate?
A Pikmin 4. Great segue.
Pikmin 4.
I've been playing that.
Pikmin.
And I was very, very impressed with the demo. I've played like.
Why were you impressed with it, Ben?
Well, Dan, because I've tried to get into Pikmin before. I played the first one on GameCube for a little bit, dropped off quite early. Played a bit of Pikmin 3, but it didn't grab me straight away. This one just seems like they have the onboarding bit seems a lot more clear. It's quite talky, probably, and that's probably annoying for like returning Pikmin players, but for me it kind of bedded me in nicely. There's a few new additions that make the whole thing streamlined. So you've got this Ochi, this dog that you can just jump on, and all the Pikmin jump on it as well, and you can just travel around rather than having to blow your whistle to gather them all. So that's quite handy. He's got like a skill tree, so he unlocks abilities that come in handy. He's very handy in battle as well. You can just send him charging at enemies and he fucks them up pretty quickly. It's just really lovely and puzzly and chill factor, Lewis. Through the roof.
Yeah.
I'd say, Deep Freeze... like, you know, severed head at the bottom of your freezer.
Okay. I was actually talking about a little nightmare style chill, but you know, that's fine.
Oh, right, yeah. But no, this is chill.
It's fine.
No, I didn't. Sorry. But it's really impressive. And I think, I would recommend it to anybody.
You criticised the character career, didn't you?
Everything I tried, I can't make any version of myself. So everything,
which
I
is madness, because normally it's default character.
Default, just one blank. Just give me the
without even meeting you, Adam. Me on the Wii that looked like you.
Yeah, just the nobody saves the world character with a beard. Everything I've tried to make ends up looking like, you know, the love child of Dan and Max, basically. So that's what I'm sticking with. Mandax, that's what I call him. That's my main character.
Oh, dear.
But it's cool. It's cool. It's more of an RPG than Final Fantasy 16 as well. The fact that it's got like upgrade systems and stuff. I really think try the demo, give it a whirl. I think you'd be surprised if you've never played a Pikmin game before. It's lovely.
Lovely.
And I think it's an 87 or 88 on OpenCritic, which is it's pretty handy for anyone who's got that in their team.
Might have to get an update on that in a minute. I'll prep Alex for that in 10, 15 minutes maybe when we get to that. Lewis?
Yes.
Another one?
Yeah, so one of the games I've been playing on Backbone, I noticed it was on Apple Arcade, and I'd seen a lot of reels on YouTube and shorts on Instagram.
Shorts on YouTube.
Shorts on YouTube. Is it reels on Instagram?
I don't know. I haven't looked in.
of this game, what it is, it's getting over it. So you play, I assume, fully naked man sat in a cauldron, for want of a better term. He has a giant hammer, and you've got to get him up a mountain to some extent. Mountain, and then I believe it goes on to even more tricky things like, you know, salads or something like that. But my God, it's difficult. All you need to do is, it's just the left stick or either stick to swing the hammer to hook yourself on to one bit, try and jump up a little bit, grab onto the next little holdy bit, and you got to try and go up. It's very frustrating. Really, really difficult. So that you can get a good hold on something, try and lever yourself up, but if you swing your hammer and you accidentally push against the side of the mountain, you just shove yourself off and you're back down at the start and you got to start again. And there's also a commentary from the guy who made the game in the background for at least the first little while, giving you updates on where you got the idea from.
Is that Bennett Foddy? Is that the same game?
Perhaps. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, just giving you like any updates and encouragement almost. But I got to a point, I've got up to the first little plateau bit, but I can't get this really tight passageway I've got to get through, and it just seems impossible. I've watched videos on YouTube of people doing it. The speedrun's like less than a minute. It's absolutely mental. But I got to a point, he was like, I'm just going to leave you for a little while. I'm just going to leave you. Just concentrate. Just do what you got to do. I was like, it's just such an interesting game. If you have Apple Arcade and you've got something like a Kishi or a Backbone, give it a shot. It also has touch controls. I would not recommend touch controls. I can guarantee you that would be impossible. It's difficult enough with a controller. But yeah, getting over it. It's cool.
Nice.
And is it like one of them like streaming, like made for people to stream and get frustrated and shout at like that?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Is it Only Up? Is that the one that people are playing at the moment?
I've seen that as well, yeah.
Yeah,
it looks like it's built in like the Fortnite engine or something. Looks weird.
Work, like the Fortnite engine from about 10 years ago. Which, it is very funny, some of the videos of it, when you realise what the actual concept of the game is, and you're like, fuck that. Yeah, it'd be horrible to play that game. I'm going to come to Ben again. Return to Monkey Island, Ben. You've returned to Monkey Island.
I've returned. I have finally decided to play and stick with a point-and-click game, having been largely anti point and click for my time on this podcast. I thought I'd give it a go. I don't know why, but I did, and I really liked it. I think it was Mark. It was obviously Mark was a big fan and of the genre, but also of this game. And he was like, "No, you should just play the first one." I ignored him, played this one because it's got. I think the thing is, because it's more streamlined, more modern, there's like a hint system that's really good, which I fell back on many, many times. As soon as I felt that little pang of frustration, I'm like, well, this is ridiculous. What am I supposed to do now? You just take one hint and it will give you a very, very gentle hint. And then if you still don't know, you can just get the next level down and, you know, maybe like five hints before it just goes, just go here and do that. Idiot.
That was one of the things that Mark didn't like, wasn't it? He didn't like the handholdy, even though it doesn't sound very handholdy, but he didn't like the fact that it would just tell you. He wanted to be stuck.
Yeah, but you can be. You can choose to not take the hint.
He wanted other people to be stuck because he's completed that game without the hints on it. True. So that's what he was trying to do, the fucking narcissist. Yeah. Terrible man.
So yeah, but fortunately, like the, you know, I'd say I got through the bulk of it without needing any hints because, you know, I thought the what was it? Grim Fandango. I played that and just thought it was ridiculous. But I think there's a lot of just once you understand the language of these games and right. Well, look in your inventory. You've got that. You've got that. What's the problem you're trying to solve? Okay. We'll put those two things together. Like there's one example of, I had to get, somebody to sign something, but he kept refusing to sign it, and then I had some papers that he had to sign to as part of the job, so I just combined those two things, the thing I wanted him to sign with the things he had to sign, and then gave that to him, and he just sort of stamped them all, and then I suddenly got the thing that I needed for him.
It's
little things like that. Yeah, but yeah, really good. I love the presentation of it. really kind of heartfelt story. Obviously, a lot of the references and stuff would have gone over my head, having not played any of the games before. But still, yeah, I love the presentation of it. Voice acting, music was lovely. Visuals, I know some people didn't kind of enjoy them because, you know, it's not pixel art. But I quite liked it. Yeah, really good. Kind of a 4 out of 5 for me.
Best,
oh, really?
Best point and click game ever. Was, I can't remember the actual name of the game, but I played it. It was on Windows 95, and it was a Simpsons game. And basically, right, you were, it's first person, and you just got to walk around Springfield. And
nice.
You could just complete various things and yeah, do certain things, and that was an absolute fucking phenomenal game. Yeah. That was amazing. And that's exactly how a point and click game should be. All that bullshit combining something in your inventory to go, right, I'm going to be able to open this lock with a frog and a cheese key and make it vomit or whatever. Like, all that stuff is just stupid. And I don't know. I just never found it fun. And I just find myself going from area to area and, like, I don't know, all of the above. But no, good that you enjoyed it.
Yeah, and it was, played it on Xbox because it's on Game Pass. So I played it across the two Xboxes, played it on the Backbone, worked lovely on there, so it was quite nice to just be able to, you know, play it on any device, basically.
Xbox I.
Yeah, brilliant. Really good game. Check it out if you like point and clicks, or even if you hate them, like I did.
There you go. Check it out.
Is it, you'll now go and play Monkey Island on Sea of Thieves?
I thought about it, but then I didn't really enjoy Sea of Thieves either. So.
I love that. Come back, it's not shit anymore. It's not the same game. It's like, it's one of those games that I will never play, and I'd love for us to play it and get into it, but we'll never play it.
I loved it. I'll go back
you
into
do,
it.
You do, yeah.
You love playing it by yourself.
Battle Pass, or whatever it was, the Plunder...
Plunder Pass.
Plunder Pass. I bought the Plunder Pass 1 month, and I really liked going around Sea of Thieves just on my own. Just the bam, woke up, and ended up getting annihilated myself. But I like it. I like it.
Brilliant.
Good. Says more about me than anything else.
One last game from Lewis. Arcade Paradise. I've not heard of this.
Yeah, another one I've been playing on the Backbone. It's on Game Pass. So I'm streaming it through the cloud on my phone. And what it is you are given basically a laundrette by your dad, and you've got to run it. But in the back of the laundrette, there are a few arcade cabinets, and you come to realise that if you start to sort of focus on the arcades, it could potentially make you more money. So you still have to do your day-to-day job. It's like a management sim. You've got to take people's clothes, wash them. When that's done, 3 minutes or whatever, you've got to put those clothes into the dryer. You get earned money for that, but you can also go and play the arcade cabinets in the back. And there are certain criteria. So if you keep playing a game yourself, it'll boost its popularity, that kind of stuff. It's just like quite an interesting little management sim. You've got to clean up. You've got to unblock toilets. It's cool. It's just it's a nice wee Backbone game, I think. I know that Mark Hammond has played it.
Oh, he loves it, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think I remember him saying he really enjoyed it. Did you play it, Alex?
It was one of his favourite games last year, I think. He absolutely loved it. I actually started this morning. I turned this on this morning and played maybe about an hour of it, and I can see why people, like, from that hour, I can see why people get into this. Like, it's just got a really nice feel about it.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, and a kind of nice, kind of sense of humour. Like, just, I feel like it's got, it doesn't take itself too seriously. And it just, I can, and there's other people on Discord as well since it's come on to Game Pass, and I think it has got, I think Game Pass has done this kind of wonders. I think it's kind of given it a whole new lease of life, and people are loving it, and I can totally see why.
Yeah, it's really chill, Ben.
Ooh, what, scary?
No, sorry. Oh, in a Ben Congleton type of chill.
Oh, chill. Yeah, I will try that. That sounds up my alley. I will download it straight
You need to go up the alley to empty the bin.
Empty the bins, yeah.
It looks cool. Very positive scores as well, like 90% positive on Steam, which is...
Oh, really? Oh.
A very, very good sign. So that's my wish list. That's another one I'll trust you guys on.
Bing!
Okay. Is that any more from any more? Alex is waving.
Alex has got another.
It was as when Lewis mentioned fast cars, and I'm like, oh, fast cars, I played a card game.
Damn it.
So I spent a couple hours every this morning week. Playing the Crew Motorfest beta.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And it's a fucking rip-off of Forza Horizon.
Is it a good game, though?
It seems like a decent game, but, like, right, so do you know how with Forza you have those kind of sequences? And like, but
breathtaking.
It's,
yes.
But one of the opening sequences in the Crew Motorfest is you driving the Ford Bronco, which is the cover car of the Forza Horizon 5, to one of the tracks in Forza Horizon 5 on a landscape that looks like Forza Horizon 5. Am I playing Forza Horizon 5 here? Well, like, I realise it wasn't because it doesn't drive as well, but. It looks really nice. I think
shifts fire.
It is a bit different because there's more to it, but there's more different. It's like almost set in like different locations, and you've got like different stories in each location and different tasks. But each location has a map that Lewis is going to absolutely love. It's probably the closest thing that PlayStation people will get to a Forza Horizon game, which isn't a bad thing, but it is that kind of Ubisoft type of game. It feels like an Ubisoft game in terms of as all the map starts to fill up and all those bits and pieces, but I'm going to play more of it. It's decent enough. I just couldn't quite believe how much it felt like Forza Horizon at the beginning. I know that kind of vibe was what they were almost feeling like, almost going for, but I'm like, to the extent of using the same car and the same song, I'm like,
yeah,
that's just a wee bit close to the bone. It looks really, really nice. It does look really pretty. The settings look really cool. The cars feel really cool, and like the introduction is quite good because it can almost jump you between all these different like story type modes. So you've got one that's almost like Japanese drifting. You've then got one which is like Hawaii, which is feels like proper. It almost feels like the Hot Wheels-y bit of Forza. You've then got like kind of proper like formula cars. You've got offside cross country ones, which is the bit with like the Ford Bronco. You've got, and they're all in like different locations, different maps for each location. So it looks like it's got potential. I don't think it's going to be a bad game. I think it'll be all right. I'll probably end up picking it up because I do think that I enjoy that type of game. But yeah,
you do. A strong seven. Yeah. My only memory of this, because they announced this bit during the Ubisoft Forward, didn't they, in the summer? And I think I was just listening to it.
Looks massive.
Wasn't watching it. And the guy's accent, when he was announcing it, he was talking about it. And I thought he was saying Murderfest, because he was like, and we have Murderfest. And I was like, oh, this sounds fucking cool, Murderfest in a car game. And then when I realised what he was actually saying, that is just we've got Forza Horizon at home, basically, isn't it? But yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Seems all right. Can't even remember when it comes out. I think it's October or something, the final releases.
Right.
Lewis was doing his tired face during that. About
tired face?
His tired. No. Lewis. And your show list is only. Lewis was not doing his tired face. Tired face and a cheeky tuck. So Lewis was doing his tired face and he was drinking his wine and he was like his tired face is like, yeah. And then I wonder what Lewis is thinking when he's doing it. It's like,
pretty tired.
Is that what you were doing?
I should buy a boat.
I was like,
he's doing a voice message to somebody.
Yeah, this was trying to make you laugh. It's my job. Yeah. It's me job. Moving on to something rather serious. The UK games industry, as the BBC has reported, has unveiled plans to try and restrict access to loot boxes for children. Loot boxes allow players to buy in-game extras. Blah, 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 blah. It's explaining all those things. Blah, 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 blah. UKIE, the body that represents games companies, I should buy a boat, says the proposals will improve protections for all players. They argue the 11 new guidelines underline the industry's commitment to safe and responsible play. So the gist of this is essentially the new principles have been introduced The principles are pretty much his commitment to make available technological controls to effectively restrict anyone under the age of 18 from acquiring a loot box without the consent or knowledge of a parent or guardian. That is literally the gist of this. This is a good thing. We all happy with it?
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely fine. Much for muchness. Okay, as long as you've got, you're able to parent your children, I don't see why this is a fucking problem to begin with, but hey ho, some people are on there, and it's some of the funny stories. There was one fella saying, I'm disgusting with myself. Dave Spronson got into thousands of pounds worth of debt because of an addiction to loot boxes. What a fucking idiot. The government first opened its call for evidence, and then it goes on to like basically kids that are spending loads of the parents' money, which has been a story as old as time, I should say.
Mm.
So, in true Crossplay's fashion, we're going to take the piss out of this, even though it's a very sensible and serious subject. It looks like we're saying goodbye to loot boxes as we know them, so it's a fitting send-off. We're going to have some fun. I wanted the guy's best ideas on the most insidious content of a hypothetical loot box for the following games. So we're going to start with Fortnite. Do you want me to go first?
Yeah.
That would be helpful.
Okay, so I wanted, for Fortnite, I wanted UK television icons. Okay?
Oh, so, okay. From a certain era, by any chance?
No. Come on.
Okay.
Well, if you want that one.
How insidious?
It could be insidious, but I just think this is my determination of insidious is to try and get people to spend their money.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try and... I reckon I want to show hands from all of us after every single one as to whether or not we buy this, but I want skins for Chris Tarrant. I want Anne Widdecombe in there. I want Jeremy Clarkson.
Mm-hmm.
I want...
Anne Robinson. United.
I want Anne Robinson. I want Schofield.
Needs
to be in there. Yeah, he needs to be in there, Schof.
With the little Gordon the Gopher as his
when it was acceptable. That's allowed. You know what I mean? So you can have all of those.
Pat Sharp in there?
Pat Sharp has to be there. Dave Benson Phillips.
With the twins on his back.
So you can have them on his back. it's just two for one.
His glider is just his mullet.
Melanie Brilliant. Martina.
Wow, impressive memory.
Fort Boyard.
Melinda.
Yep.
Melinda. Got to have her on it.
The Tiger.
Anyone else?
Dirty Dane.
Ooh.
And Jet Ange.
From Gladiators.
Mm. Yeah.
UK and Shadow. TV. Oh, great shot. You get where I'm going with it. So basically, that's my pitch for Fortnite. I think that's going to make millions.
That'll bring in the monies.
It fucking would, wouldn't it? Imagine like Chris Tarrant. You get killed by him and he just sits down and four little questions come up.
I was thinking about this all wrong. I went for Insidious as being like,
it's fine, not just as funny, just as funny.
I went pure money making, and I think skins for the different flavors of Prime.
Oof!
How much bank would that make?
They wouldn't be getting my money.
Well, no, but every kid on the planet would be like, "Oh, I want that flavor." Oh, I want the special edition KSI flavour.
Yeah.
That would make ridiculous money.
So you're in this at the moment. How many flavours of Prime are there?
Well, that we've had over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And that it seems infinite to me.
Bloody.
It is.
So what, are they just running around as a can or a bottle? Is that the...
Bottle, because the cans are the caffeinated.
Well, I was in Aldi near my work, and I went back after because I was getting bits and pieces. Went back to my work. I was like, "Oh, by the way, they've got Prime up at Aldi. It's like 90p." And the lady I work with, she was like, "Yeah, that's just the energy drink." And I was like, "Fucking energy drink! I thought it was just what you talking about same thing, no? I thought it was just one thing."
Crazy,
yeah,
absolutely.
There's energy drink, and then there's the hydration or whatever they call it, some bollocks, but I think that would make a lot of money. You put one in for a day, all the kids would want that one, and then you put a new flavor in the next day, all the kids would want that one, and cash would cometh.
Mm-hmm.
Lewis, what are you picking for Fortnite?
I thought that loot boxes, I thought you could only unlock the map if you had a loot box. So you don't, everyone got assigned a random section of the map to begin with, and you had to spend money on in a loot box to open up the rest of the map.
Where are we dropping, boys? that one section of the map. That okay. All right, I like that. Alex?
Clever.
Yours is worse.
No, it's not. Because I don't know that much about Fortnite, even though I play it. So I don't know what you got. I thought you could have Pokemon weapon charms. You get a different one every day. And then you could have all Pokemon.
A weapon charm, like on the weapon, a little like,
I like Pokemon,
a giblet on your croc.
Yeah.
I love that's your frame of reference.
He loves that.
Yeah. I've got tennis ones in my crocs.
Oh, God. Yeah. So what you... Then the thinking behind
you
that
need,
is that they have
to
collect them
all,
basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how many Pokemon are there now? Like 1,000.
Oh, too many.
Yeah, Lewis.
Nice giblets.
Yeah.
Giblets.
Tennis giblets.
Giblets.
No, I was talking about Dan's short shorts.
The Nike running shorts, Ben. Where's my bottle of Prime? I like that. It's pretty good. That's that sells some money. Who's winning that one? I've got to go with Ben, I think. He's probably got the most insidious one.
Yeah, but I like yours.
Yeah, I like yours.
Mine's good, yeah. But Ben's
like
would
make
more money.
Ben's would make more money, I agree, but I like yours.
Yeah. It's all about money.
Here's more. Noel yep. Edmonds. Mr. Blobby. Ooh. Yeah, I've won. I've won that one.
Blobby, and, yeah.
If anybody hasn't watched that video, Mr. Blobby doesn't get to go to America. Please watch that video on YouTube. It's one of the funniest videos ever. Rocket League, Ben.
Less of a moneymaker, more of just to fuck with people. Tesla cars.
Okay.
Yeah, because obviously, you know, people like them because they're good for the environment and all the rest of it, but they hate the person that is whose company it is. So I just want to watch people's heads explode because of like the conflict within them. Not necessarily money making, more insidious, as in, yeah, I want to watch people squirm. Like, oh, I really want that car, but at the same time, I'm supporting someone who's a knob. You know, I like seeing that chaos. Chaos!
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. Lewis, what are you thinking?
Yeah, 90s TV personalities as cars.
I want
a Brum. I want a Pat Sharp car. I want a Ford Schofield car.
Yeah.
I want...
Dusty Bend. No, that was 80s, 70s.
I was going to say I want Knight Rider, but that's 80s as well.
What else is there?
The car from Home and Away.
A morph car.
Ooh.
A morph car?
Oh, that'd
yeah, be cool.
The ball just...
just penis underneath, just dragging on the floor. Pinky,
what's
his name? That'd be good.
Tony Hart.
Yeah. Tony Hart car?
Brett the Hitman Hart.
He could be the light or whatever it is on the top of the car. It could just be
a little bobble head. Yeah.
Tony Hart's head or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. Is he still alive?
I doubt it. Surely not.
Tony Hart. I mean, yeah. I don't know. If one of the Chuckle Brothers is gone, he's got to be gone, eh?
Yeah. He's better off out of it, isn't he? Because... Let's face it.
I think that. So my Rocket League pitch before we come to Alex.
Is he dead? Do you want to have a guess when he died?
5 years ago.
One.
Shortly before the allegations? No idea.
Go on.
When?
He died in 2009.
Wow.
That's a while ago. He exploded. He blew up.
Oh, did he get electrocuted? Am I thinking of Rod Hull?
Anyone, perhaps. Just to remind anyone, this is a comedy entertainment podcast, and the things we are saying, we can't take any credit for, and they're pretty much going to be false. So we don't Google anything, we're not intelligent. So, yeah.
Hey.
It's fine, we're a load of idiots. My Rocket League pitch before I come to Alex was purchasable chat options. So it's limited.
Chaps.
Chat options, not chaps. So chat options. So at the moment, you can what save people, but you can do other things. So you can buy like chats that go, I don't know, nice car, dickhead, or something. Just loads of different options that you can go and spend 50 pence or whatever at a pop for. I think that's really cool. So instead of celebrations, you go with that chat options. Alex.
Taylor Swift goal celebration.
Okay, moving on. Zelda. Taylor Swift, Goldstar. What song? Because I need to play it just so I can understand why you're going to.
You can have like Shake It Off. Like Shake It Off.
Yeah, that'd be a good one.
That would be good.
Yeah.
That's the only one I know.
That's the. Yeah, I've heard of that as well, actually.
I've actually got
right. The one with Kendrick Lamar. I've heard of that one as well.
Oh, here he is.
Is it Bad Blood? Is that what it's called?
Was he, Bad Blood was. There was a rapper in that, I'm sure.
A rap? You've heard him, one of them rappers.
One of them rappers, indeed.
Oh, yeah. Rap people.
That was on the Red album.
Bad Blood.
Right. That would be great for Rocket League.
That'd be good as a...
I think that would make a whole lot of money.
Yeah.
I think
that'd be good as a song, just as like
trouble
a...
when you walked in.
That's not a goal celebration song.
Flatter than a witch's tit like that. I don't know what I'd go for. It's a song for Rocket League.
Good shout, though.
Very good shout. Oh, really, really good shout. I like that. Okay. Zelda. Tricky one, this. Very, very tricky.
Because
obviously Nintendo don't do loot boxes, really.
No.
It's kind of point we've got to try and induce something.
Should,
make money out of all those
I've got a
fat
good one.
Nerds. Go on then, Alex.
A loot box, it makes the weapons not break.
Okay. Okay.
A weapon loot box where you just get a random... I mean, isn't that just a treasure chest in the game, though?
Yeah.
But I guess
basically.
Bam. Yeah.
Embrace the weapon degradation.
I need to play a game first.
You do, don't you?
Yeah,
to understand.
I was thinking more along. I haven't got a really good one for this either, but like you know, when Breath of the Wild came out and the Switch launched, you could get the Switch T-shirt, so you had Link running around in a bright red
Nintendo
T-shirt, and Nintendo Switch on the front of it. I think more like you just get a random Nintendo themed T-shirt or some completely inappropriate outfit that doesn't fit in with the Zelda world at all. So like exactly, which just completely breaks the immersion
Car-horn.
Of the game and the artistic look of it. So something like that, and people would spend loads of money trying to get a good one for their favorite character.
Okay, yeah,
that's the best I've got for that.
DLC where you can go and play all of the classic games within Tears of the Kingdom. So I don't mean just in traditional pixel way, but literally there's a playable area, little island off, which is a link to the past, and you get to go and do that game.
Yeah, that's cool.
And it would be a random drop of what game you get.
Yes. So there's like four or five, Wind Waker, all those kind of parts in there as well. Any game that you pretty much, I think, would work within that world. As in the mechanics of it, it's then lifted and shifted into Tears of the Kingdom, so you can go and play it in that game. And then if you get all of them, you've got this wonderful map of just basically every Zelda game in that engine in one game. There you go.
It's cool.
Genius.
I like it.
Yeah. There we go, Nintendo. Make that. Lewis?
Or like maybe like a hint system where you pay to get a random hint. But because you're like, you don't know what it's going to be, it just ends up being some knob that just blurts something out that spoils a major part of the game. Like that's the loot box. Like that's the risk you take. You could get a hint, you could get a massive spoiler. I just don't know. But people just won't stop talking about this game, will they?
Just at some point, just a button, a mapping on one of the things where it's just lorry going queef. Lewis?
It's a loot box, not so much a loot box as it is a upgrade or whatever you want to call it, where you can just spend money to play as Zelda.
Yes, that's a good shout. Where everything's flipped, so it's actually Link that does all the Zelda stuff, and then the story all changes, so you're actually Zelda. That'd be pretty cool.
And he's got that voice.
Ah, oh, no!
Find me!
Where are you? The Master Sword!
Oh, so annoying.
Do that as soon as Soph walks into the fucking room. It wasn't fucking bad enough. Fuck. Shit. Embarrassing. I think that's all of us for Zelda, isn't it? So
yeah,
probably, aye, it's good. Animal Crossing. This is a tricky one.
I'd like to start this one off.
Go on.
Could it get any more insidious than what Animal Crossing was?
That's pretty insidious. That's disgusting. Alex?
Various rates on a fixed rate mortgage so that Tom Nook doesn't rip you off.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah.
What, so you get like a randomly assigned rate. Much like the real world.
Right? Yeah.
It's like when you go back and try and sell your turnips?
Yes.
So I was thinking
stock
that,
market.
That,
yeah.
I think the turnip thing, you put in a real world, you see the exchange rate, you think, okay, I'm going to buy this amount of turnips, but then it's randomised.
Hmm.
So you spend £500 and you get two turnips, which are worth £200 in the game.
All of the animals have genitalia, and the art style is like Ren and Stimpy whenever they need to get it on, and then you create these weird like monstrosity babies, so they can be like, I don't know, like half cow, half raccoon, and there's just these weird shit things happening around the island, like it just goes batshit, where there's just, yeah. They can wear pants still, but they've just got a bulge, and you're like, you're
bulge.
Aware.
That, you know
yeah,
what's there.
Yeah, that was Tom Nook's packing, you know what I mean? Looking at yeah. that length over there, it's peeking out. There you go.
Camel with a camel toe.
Yeah. Camels, fitting. Plural. Okay, there we go. Lewis, did you have a genuine suggestion, or was it just a witty
that
remark?
That was it?
That was a witty remark.
No, okay. that's what... That
smart.
Was.
EAFC 2024, which is the new FIFA. That is right, isn't it? EAFC, that's what it's called.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
a stupid name. It's going to get called FIFA forever anyway.
Just got the Premier League license, haven't they?
They have. They have.
Laughing. Yeah. All the way to the bank.
All the way to the bank. They'll be fine. Alex, what are you thinking?
We'll lock the clubs, burn the loot box, so you can only play for the teams that you've managed to actually
unlock.
Buy,
oh,
unlock.
That's clever.
That's good. Okay, so he's kind of looted for like, I don't know, 2.5 years or something while you're trying to unlock Chelsea.
Mm.
Lewis?
You probably still weren't looting.
I'm going to pretend that I had the same suggestion as Alex.
Okay, that's fine. He abstained.
Great idea. Yeah, great minds think alike.
The teams are locked behind loot boxes. You want to spend money to unlock those teams?
Can you also have a water bottle that out your periphery looks like one of those fucking chickens that you can squeeze when they go whenever I see that coming up, I'm like, what the
that is not 750 milliliters. That is
it's
huge.
That is a fucking seltzer that's bottle and a half. You... don't show the bottom of it, like, shoo
it says 750 on it.
Oh, madman,
that's massive.
Ben, any ideas for FIFA?
I thought maybe just to add to the realism and the immersion, I think you should have to pay a real life lawyer to stop your private life leaking to the press in the like career mode. So much like a real Premier League footballer, you have to say, well, I don't want that leaking out. Can you just make that go away, please? And you have to pay real money for that to happen. Otherwise, your form dips, you start to lose your confidence, your morale drops off, and suddenly you're not the player you were. So you need to do that like they do in real life.
I like that. Okay. So I had the idea to superimpose your face and your body type and shape onto the managers in the game.
Just the managers, not the players.
Yeah. No, just brilliant. The managers this time. But all your characteristics and everything can be also then there's like different options for the manager. So it's like almost like a management sim then as well as... player sim, and you could be like Fat Sam if you want. There's like traits for the top 20 managers, so you could be like Kerbishly, so you've just come back into the game after not being there for like 15 years or whatever it is, and just be horrendously boring. You could be like Neil Warnock and just do weird shit all the time. You could be like, I don't know, I'm just thinking like Jose Mourinho and be stupidly weird and charismatic. Like Alex could put himself in as like Rangers manager and just be really strange and quiet and inquisitive and all the things that we love Alex for. Yeah, that was my pitch as well.
I like that. That reminds me, I always used to think it would be cool. Yeah, but worth it. I always used to think it would be cool if you could record your own commentary and have that in a FIFA game.
Yes,
where you just idea. And just have like, okay, I'm going to replace that phrase with this one that I want to say, and then you just have this whole thing where it's just you and your mates.
Oh, and that's a bad miss.
One of my mates threw a PS3 out of his window because his mate flipped the commentary to the Brazilian commentary. And when you flip it to the Brazilian commentary, at the end of every single goal, it's pretty much a guy going, goal, for at least, I don't know, like 10 to 20 seconds. And he was losing 6-0 to him. He's bladded and he's went, fuck it, right, I'm sick of it. It was his PS3, so he threw it out the window.
Brilliant.
True story.
True story. Ben, you reminded me of something with your litigation. On the 28th of December 2012, I took a screenshot on my phone. I was playing, so like, there's Retro Bowl, it's like Retro Soccer, whatever the fuck it was called.
Red
back
card?
When it was, back before it was, what was it, yeah, what was it called? Retro something. Retro Bowl.
Red Card Soccer? No.
Nah.
I remember, I think I know the one you're talking about.
It's like you just like you could like aim the passes and stuff like that and do headers by dragging. Anyway, but back before it got all greedy, and that was itself filled with loot boxes, you could buy things. And I found this quite funny. I took a screenshot. So throughout the game, I bought myself a helicopter. I also found a girlfriend, right? I found a girlfriend. But dear me, got a message one weekend. Oh no. Your girlfriend has crashed your helicopter. It cost you $40 to repair it.
$40?
Yeah, not that it's $40 to repair the helicopter. Not the fact that your girlfriend's died, but...
Oh, there's a joke in that that I'm not going to say.
Knew that screenshot would come in handy one day.
That's a good one. I like that.
Great reference.
Alex, have you got an update? That's the end of the topic, by the way. I thought that was quite funny. Alex, have we got an update for our fancy critic? I think two of us are doing quite well. Two of us are not doing as well.
Yeah, so it's like a battle for first and second, a battle for third and fourth, I would say. Nintendo is in the lead now with 81.8 points.
What?
Following the release of Pikmin. So he's now projected for 119.8, with Lewis sitting second on 66.4, Into Your Maw, with projected
91.2.
Daniel is sitting on 55.6 points with projected 82.6, and I'm on 19.4 with a projected 75.7. But I did manage to play Dan so that he bought Cocoon with all of his money, which means if any of his games get delayed, he can't replace them because he's got no money left. So
nicely done.
And I do have a gap.
I managed to play Dan. In other words, no, you didn't. You accidentally did something that worked out for you. So
No, I did. I knew exactly what I was doing.
You didn't do it.
I did.
You'll be played.
Fucker!
So if we look at the upcoming releases, we've got Armored Core 6 for Ben on August is the next game.
That's going to be shit.
And then my comeback begins on the 29th of August when Sea of Stars releases to critical acclaim. And then Lewis has got Goodbye Volcano High, and that's the August releases that we've got to look forward to.
That's going to tank.
So we've all had 5 games released now, haven't we? So we're all pretty even.
Yeah.
In terms of releases, but points, yeah.
Big difference in the points.
I still think Dan's got a chance, though. I think Dan's got a couple.
If Hades comes in, it's not going to. But if it came in, then that would be that give me a shot in the arm. But at the moment,
he needs Starfield to tank.
Which I'd be devastated about now. But yeah, at the same point, part of me would be like, yeah.
It's interesting.
It is.
Yeah.
I love how we've all played it honestly. We've all gone for games that we genuinely think would be good, and I think that's been quite nice. So,
well, how else would we play? I think this is going to be shit.
All right, fucking hell.
No, but I don't understand.
You're ripping the hell out of me, and Lewis is fucking acting like Robert Downey Jr. in Tropic Thunder. What the fuck am I meant to do? I'm trying to bring it back to a level playing field.
It's nice, isn't it? It's a nice bit of fun. It's a nice bit of fun.
It's not fun. It's innocent fun.
Yeah. It's a good clean fun.
Crazy that Lewis isn't first anymore, though. It's after Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah, he's right, massively just fumbled the ball, hasn't he?
It's really insane that he dropped the ball.
He had options as well. Thank you for listening to our inane ramblings this week. If you're a regular listener and fancy getting a bit more involved with our fellow players, our social links are pretty simple and easy to remember. Literally just look for the cross players on anything. And for our VR episodes, chaps, what do we look for?
Crossbutton VR on all good podcast services and on youtube.com/crossplayers. Full playlist of all 22 episodes.
Flying. Loving it. Absolutely flying it. And last but absolutely definitely 100% not least, a big thanks, love and hugs to our patrons for supporting the episode this week. And the glorious names are Ethan Hunt, Nate Ellingsworth, Carl Hughes, Sean Hughes, Jason Frost, Sarah Perbrick, Rebecca Rudranoff, Luke Cooper, Kevin Scully, Mark Hammond, Rune Storm, Phil Marshall, Lillian Soltles and Eamon McCauley. That is it, chaps. Have you had a good time?
Oh, we had a lovely time.
Had it's a been ball. Fun.
It's been good, hasn't it? It's been really, really
good. It's been really good.
Nice t-shirt. Nice to be back as well. What's the what's on that? Super Mario World. Oh, it's a picture of Yoshi hanging off the side. Nice. Very cool. Nice. Alex is in his gym gear again.
Get some nice Barca trousers on.
Oh, have you? Yeah.
Trousers. Barca trousers.
Did you see Messi's goal?
I did see Messi's goal. Messi goal.
Golazo. Yeah, what a beast. Let's wrap this up. Ben, love you. Lewis, Alex, love you.
Bye. Love you too, then.
Love you all.
But yeah, same.
Likewise.
Like you too.
Same here. Bye.
Bye.